Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me make sure. I go to Hawaii in 3 days. Yeah. Kenny, I'll go. I've already had numerous requests for assistance with my luggage. I'm sure. Well, and I also want to thank and then ask your prayers for Scott McNeil is going to be preaching next Sunday. And so very, very intentionally be praying for him and just lifting him up for God's grace and God's preparation. And then on the 7th of April, Larry, do we know yet? Oh, okay. We're waiting to hear back from someone else for the 7th of April. Okay, so please be praying for Scott. We'll turn to Romans. We are continuing where we left off last week. And we were looking at this passage, Romans 8:37, where after all the buildup of truth for through the first eight chapters of Romans, that God comes to this strong statement embedded right in the context of all his love promise that nothing can defeat us, nothing can separate us from his love. And he says right in the middle of that, in all these things, all these external threats and all these internal spiritual threats, in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And we're continuing our look at turning that into battle strategy. And what I've encouraged you to do, and I will keep encouraging you to do, if you haven't done this, please really do this. Please give some prayerful thought and consideration to your own life and me to my own life of where do we face weakness? Where do we face a sense that here's where the enemy can defeat me? Here's where I get stuck. Here's where I feel enslaved. Here's where I most frequently stumble. Here's where I most frequently get discouraged. Here's the emotional context in which I most frequently get pulled away from peacefulness and intimacy with God. Keep that area or those areas in mind as we're looking at these things so that you're actually envisioning how would I now go apply what we're reviewing? How would I go apply that to my specific areas of battle? And we looked at the recognition that in becoming overwhelming conquerors, we first get to recognize the Father's purposes. And we looked at, and we could have looked at many passages, but at Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. And what we get out of that is God saying, here's what wraps up everything I have taught you in Scripture. All the law, all the prophets, everything I have spoken of and led up till this moment tells you this. I want you to pursue a love relationship with me and then to pursue a love relationship with others. And once we recognize that that's what God is aiming for, then part of our wisdom is now we can also recognize the enemy's strategies. So the enemy will keep seeking. It's not, again, not rocket science to recognize if that's the main thing God's working to accomplish in my life, the enemy will be working to sabotage those things. So 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8. 7 is about trusting him. Oops, that's 1 Peter 5. 7 through 9. 7 is about trusting with all our needs. 8 is about recognizing that the enemy is a devouring lion. And 9 is that command, so stand firm in your faith. That is possible for us. So we recognize the enemy, his plan is to devour our life and swallow up God's purposes in our life. But we're not to be ignorant. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we are not to be ignorant of his schemes. And again, a child can comprehend this. A 5-year-old child can comprehend that what God wants will be the main thing the enemy's working to destroy. my intimacy with the Father, and then my intimacy with others. And we looked at that in terms of counteracting that. We're coming up with strategy for battle. And the first thing we put on that strategy for battle is worship. Worship because he's worthy. So if the enemy wants to pull me away from God, when you see your temptation on the horizon, when you see the first inklings of that emotion that enslaves you, when you see the first inkling of the situation in which you typically stumble and fall, that's your signal. That's my signal to say, now I run into the Father's presence. If the enemy wants to pull me away, I run there now. I run there right now, because later it might be harder. So that part of our wisdom is we're developing a quick response to temptation, a quick response to our areas of weakness, a quick response when the environment is signaling me, Reg, this is one of those times when you're going to stumble, and that I immediately and you immediately said, no, not this time. I'm running into the Father's presence, and one of the most effective ways is to worship him because he is worthy. And then to recognize that in worshiping him, I see who he is. The enemy's deceptions depend on hiding some aspect of who he is. In worshiping him, I clarify my vision. But let's go beyond that. That once I'm in his presence worshiping him, now I go to an aggressive agreement. Aggressive agreement. With truth. So in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, you know, if you're my disciples, you'll abide in my word. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when we're recognizing I'm confronting an area of slavery in my life, you're confronting an area of slavery in your life, it's good to recognize God's already told you, and Jesus has said it explicitly, I have something you need to know to overcome that slavery. I have something you need to absolutely comprehend as a tactic. Not an idea you believe in, but a tactic for battle. Come abide in my word and get to know my word. Come prepare with the word. Now, there's something, as I was praying for this morning, that I really want to encourage, that I think would be, I know has been helpful and wise for me, but I believe it would be wise and helpful for all of us. Because it's aggressive agreement with truth that I am already gathering. And that's one of the reasons I'm asking you to consider and think and pray and consult the Holy Spirit. Where am I weak? And that you'd say, now I'm going to go gather that truth. That there should be a notebook, there should be a whole thing on your little smartphone, your iPhone, your iPad. There should be a separate file in your computer. There should be a little notepad by your bed. There should be some place, truly, truly, some place physical where you and I are gathering truth from the Word of God that applies to our area of weakness. So if, you know, and I've had plenty of folks in counseling who've said this, you know, we talk about their, whatever their area, their struggle is. And I'll ask them, well, what do you do when you're hit with that? And what's typical, and it's not that it's stupid, it's just not enough. That typically what they say is, once I'm tempted, I start saying, dear God, please help me. And I'll usually ask about this one. Is there truth you go to in the Word of God that fires you up, that strengthens you, that reminds you, that powers up your resistance to the lies? Well, no, not really. I'm mostly just depending on the Holy Spirit to help me. And that's like somebody going and getting ready for combat. I know I've told you this story before, but when I was in the Marine Corps long, long ago, and I was given guard duty. I'd do guard duty for 3 months between one set of training and another aspect of training. And we actually had a real emergency where there was somebody actually trying to break onto the base to steal weapons. So we usually only got three little bullets. when we were on guard duty, we had 3 bullets. And it was like, you know, man, you better hope that you only have 3 opposition, you know, 3 enemies, and you better hope your aim is good or something, because that's all you get. You get 3 bullets. I don't know if there was a famine on bullets that season or something, but 3 was all we got. But once they knew that the Symbionese Liberation Army was actually planning to break onto base and break into our armory and steal our weapons, then we actually got an entire supply, a really good supply of ammunition. Not 3. I think we had 30 to begin with, a banana clip of about 30, and then maybe more if we used that up. I never got that far. So, but here's the deal. We were really under attack, so they really supplied us with ammunition. And we go running down the hallway, gathering everything. They throw you your flak jacket, which never fit me. They throw you your helmet, which never fit me. They throw you your ammo belt, which never fit me. So they throw you all this stuff, and the last thing you get is your rifle and your banana clip with ammunition. And for us to go into battle against the enemy and have not gathered the word, that's not showing up without 3 bullets. That's showing up with no bullets. Where God has actually said, I'm telling you what your ammunition is. I'm telling you ahead of time how to prepare for freedom and oppose slavery. I'm telling you ahead of time how to prepare to defeat the enemy. Gather the word. Gather the specific ammunition. So if I'm getting ready to face something and I know that my weakness is fear, and I've gathered a bunch of wonderful truth about overcoming anger, guess what? It probably won't help me as good as about 15, 20, or 100 passages that are aimed at fear. And it's not that I might be able to extrapolate something from those anger passages, because I actually would be able to. But why aim sideways when I could aim directly for what I'm opposing? So that whatever your area, I would encourage you, and you're looking for a variety of things, as you're gathering truth, excuse me, as you're gathering truth, you're looking for promises. What does God promise me in this area? How is he going to equip me? What has he told me is doable in addressing or overcoming or facing this? You're looking for commands. Now, one of the things that's true is I think a lot of times as believers, we think, well, I already know what he wants. He wants me to be good and not do bad. I already know what he wants. He wants me to be brave instead of afraid. I already know what he wants. But part of it is if we make this an intellectual exercise, if we just make it on the basis of what I know, we miss the supernatural element of God saying, I want you abiding in my word. I want my words abiding in you. I don't want you to just be aware of the concept. I want my words echoing in your thinking. I want a specific command that you can stand on and that you can say, this is why I'm going to oppose this. This is why it matters to me to go in this direction instead of that direction. And I can't fool myself into thinking it doesn't matter, because that is one of the deceptions of the enemy. It doesn't matter. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. Covered under grace. Got my ticket punched. I'm going. My fire insurance is paid. Everything is just absolutely okay between me and God. So it doesn't matter if I'm defeated right now. And what God's saying, it does matter. And I've given you a command to win this battle. And the more you have my commands echoing in your hearing, the more motivated, the better prepared you are to actually oppose rather than end up sort of with a mushy semi-agreement with the enemy that it doesn't matter too much. You'll go confess, you'll be forgiven, no big deal. The commands are spoken because your victory matters to God. So you're looking for promises, you're looking for commands. You're also looking for vision. That you're actually in an agreement with God, a process, and we talked about this recently in another context, that you and I are actually building a vision through this gathering of Scripture, that you're learning to see yourself as the man of God, the woman of God, the young person, the old person that God intends you to be, and you're building a vision of agreement with Him. It's not simply saying, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. It's, Father, I want to see this coherent picture of the man you're calling and creating and equipping me to be, of the woman that I'm called and equipped to be. I want to see that vision so that I have a joyful sense of where we're headed with this, Father. If you and I end up thinking that life is just a series of do's and don'ts, and we lack this larger vision that I'm being called into the fullness of the stature and the wisdom and the character of Jesus Christ, if we lack that vision, we're still subject to a lot of deception because I won't see how things fit together. Without a vision, I won't see how things fit together. I won't see, also won't get to rejoice when I see a coherent picture of what God's working on in me. God actually has a plan for your life. And we won't go down that trail right now. But God has specific plans for your life. He knows you. He knows your gifting. He knows your specific calling. He knows your circle of relationships that He's planned for the years ahead. He knows all the days of your life. And the more you and I have a vision of what are you accomplishing through this, Father? Where are you taking me? I want to envision me one day complete in Christ. What will that look like? Picture, please try to picture that for a minute. Don't just, you know, let the idea whiz past you. What would it look like for you, the real you, as you are right now, what would it look like for you to mature into the character of Jesus Christ? Not into a hyper-religious person, but into the fullness of the character of Jesus Christ. What would it look like for your family to live with the love of Jesus Christ? What would it look like for your friends, your coworkers, and your enemies to deal with the grace and the kindness and the wisdom of Jesus Christ? What would it look like for your efforts to get decided when you decide where to pour your energy, what to say yes to, what to say no to? What would it look like that just like Jesus, you know when to do that because there's a growing intimacy between you and the Father, and you have a growing wisdom and sense of what would please the Father? And Father, this might be a good thing over here I'm being asked to participate in, but if it would rob me of time and energy of this thing that I'm confident you've called me to, then this would be a wise no, because I've already said wise yes to this. That way we're not just trying to be good. We're each individually and then together as a body, we're maturing into a calling. So this vision matters. I need the gathering of truth so that I have a picture of where God's taking me. So whether it's promises, whether it's command, whether it's vision, and then just in general, I'll call it encouragement. Anchor. Encouragement. When I'm down, I need to hear something from God that lifts me up. When I've actually stumbled and fallen, I need something fresh that tells me why it's worth getting up and continuing the battle. So you and I need all of these things. I don't need just one verse. I need a gathering of ammunition. So I would encourage you to plan a physical collection, your own personal library of truth that applies to your area. If you've already got that going, keep it growing. Don't just quit with what you have. Keep expecting that in the next sermon, the next Bible study, the next time you're reading a chapter, God will keep nourishing that because He has a vision for where He's taking you, that He will actually personally lead you to more truth. And if you don't have that already going, please begin. Unless you can come up with a really godly, wise reason to do it different, and I'm okay with that. I'm not sure what that would be. But if you can come up with a really godly, wise, biblical reason why you're not going to have a physical collection, is there anybody in the room who has a total photographic memory? Okay. If you had a photographic memory, you might not need the physical collection, but I bet you still would, because you'd still need the focus. Now, the rest of us who don't have a photographic memory, we all need a physical collection. You know, it's interesting, when Paul was in prison and he'd been moved around and he was stuck one place and he had no mobility and he depended on other people to bring him, he said, you know, would you guys, next time you come, bring me my cloak and bring me my scrolls. And I've always wondered what was in his scrolls. I figured it out. One of his scrolls was his physical collection. One of his scrolls, at least, was he saying, here's the things from the Word of God, Genesis all the way through Malachi, and maybe he already had the Gospels. You know, he hadn't finished writing the rest of the New Testament. So he at least had a gathering of truth that he said, when I'm discouraged, when I'm down, when I'm depressed, when I feel defeated, when I'm facing temptation, I want them right in front of me where I can study them and meditate on them. Even if I've embedded them in my memory, it helps. It really does help to see it in black and white in front of you. Now, third thing. Any objections to number two? Okay. Third thing, in a sense, is now we're recognizing all of this is crucial, but now we get to do one thing, because remember, oh, I forgot to write it at the top. We're talking about overwhelming victory. And I can barely reach that far, so I'm not going to write it above that other line. Overwhelming victory. So now is the time, in a sense, on the basis of these two, that I now go do the fight. Go do the work of the kingdom. And this is where you now pursue, in the face of temptation, you pursue God's purposes for yourself and other people. And I'm going to try to just quickly break it down into two things. One is for myself. How will I do this for myself? And that would be some fresh plan or commitment for growth. Because remember what we're talking about. We're talking about a battle where the enemy has come against you, where he's come with temptation, he's come with some situation that normally defeats you, and the enemy's saying, I'm going to be able to pull you down. And you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not settling for a draw. I don't want to just walk away from this where I said, no, I won't let you pull me down. We're done. That would be a good thing, but it would not be overwhelming victory. Because we're talking about the enemy regretting the battle. I hope you remember that from last week. We're talking about Satan, literally, his demons, literally regretting the battle against us. Because now we're saying, now I'm going to push the domain of God's kingdom further as part of my response to temptation. So for myself, I pursue some fresh plan for growth. For others, I begin intercession. Now, if you know that the enemy is tempting you to anger, and you know some other men or women who struggle with anger, start praying for them in the same area where the enemy's tempting you. If you know the enemy's pulling you toward lust, if you know the enemy's pulling you toward fear, if you know the enemy's just pulling you to give up, if you know the enemy is pulling you to rebellion and disobedience, if you know the enemy is pulling you to just coldness toward God, pray for that same thing to be overcome in the lives of those other men and women that God brings to mind. Do real battle on behalf of people. Now, I'm not being facetious. You might think I am, but I'm not being facetious. I am okay with you saying, Father, every time I'm tempted, I'll pray for Reg. Because I know I would get prayed for hundreds of times a week. That's what you're doing for each other. And that's one of the ways we're pushing against the enemy and expanding the domain of God's kingdom is say, Father, every time I face my area of weakness, I'm going to end up praying for a lot of men and women, a lot of kids, a lot of people I know in the body of Christ. I'm going to start interceding for some people that aren't even saved. I would love to push the kingdom of God so far that it enters somebody's life who right now belongs to the enemy. So I start interceding for others for their salvation, for their growth. I defy the enemy's plan for me to pull away from God and to pull away from others by actually doing the work of the kingdom in their lives. And four, talked about this a lot. Do not fight alone. The passage we read this morning in Galatians is talking about overcoming the flesh in the power of the Spirit. And then where it ends is, after he's told you all of this power and authority that you individually have, and that I individually have. He says, now, don't forget this concept. Bear one another's burdens. Don't carry your load alone. Now, he balances it by saying, and you're responsible for your load, but don't be foolish enough to bear your load alone. Invite others to share that burden with you, and then you find out where they need fight. Where do they need help? Where do they need intercession? So, if you're fighting alone, to whatever extent, and you could be fighting with great joy, you could be fighting with a lot of truth, you could be fighting with a strong determination to please God, but if you're fighting alone, you, again, you are missing some of the ammunition that God provided for your victory. So that you get to recognize, you know what? You know, I'm gathering all this truth, but I need somebody fighting with me because they bring ammunition to the battle too. I want somebody fighting to my right. I want somebody fighting to my left. I want somebody who's going to strengthen me when I'm weak and pick me up when I'm ready to give up. I actually want somebody to know what my battle is. So I was sort of teasing last week about saying, you know, okay, feel free to stand up. Patty, would you stand up and share with the church your... No, I'm not going to do that. But she doesn't... Can I... just touch you for a second. Yeah. That's right. Now, you will have a peaceful day. That's good for you, Stephen. But that recognition that all of us have areas of weakness, that means somebody for real should know where I'm struggling. And it might be one person. It might be two or three people. It might be a whole group. It might be a large circle of 15, 20 people if I trust that many people for with that area. But what I really want to strongly encourage you is don't have any area of struggle that nobody knows about. Do not allow any area of struggle in your life or me in my life that nobody knows about. And if you're thinking, you know what, I can't tell Bob. Okay, don't tell Bob. Go tell Jim. I can't tell Jim either. Well, go find somebody. Go find somebody that you can share that with. Because God planned that you should. And that's part of the challenge. That if God planned that you should, and he's commanded you to skip it, to miss it, is just flat out foolish. It's a setup for defeat. So if there's an area, please consider this thoughtfully and prayerfully right now. If there's an area you struggle with in your life right now, and you know that you're handling it alone. There's nobody who knows. I would really encourage you. I'm not, you know, by the way, I'm looking around the room. I'm not looking at anybody. It's like, okay, they told me. No. This is just you choosing between you and God. I will find at least one person thoughtfully, prayerfully. I won't do it foolishly. I won't do it out of guilt. I'm trying to do it with the wisdom of the Father, with Jesus Christ leading me. I want to be a faithful son, faithful daughter of God, and obey him by getting a partner in the battle. And whether it's somebody you know closely or whether you're going to actually have to grow deeper friendship with somebody to do this, I would encourage you that you do not end today without a clear, strong plan to go get that partner. So that Galatians 2 passage, bear one another's burdens. Let someone, choose someone to bear the burden with you. Don't bear this alone. Do not foolishly set yourself up for defeat by fighting a battle alone. Now, part of what I hope, again, in these things, that worship, aggressive agreement with truth, doing and pursuing the fight and the work of the kingdom in myself and others in the face of temptation, and then not fighting alone, but me bearing another's burdens and letting them bear mine. This should be, again, so simple. The youngest person in the room can get this. That means all the rest of us have no excuse to apply it. We get to run with this as real plan and real victory for our next step of growth in overcoming the enemy and enjoying more and more and more overwhelming victory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can do nothing apart from the dwelling of Jesus Christ within us. And I thank you that you've told us that we actually possess Jesus Christ within us. Father, we can't do any of this. We can't worship. We can't agree with truth. We can't fight. We can't bear one another's burdens in our own strength and flesh. So, Father, thank you that we get to choose the very life of Jesus Christ within us, just as Paul did. We choose Jesus Christ as our power to do these things. Father, and I ask that your Spirit would strengthen us, that we would see that so clearly that the enemy couldn't fool us into operating alone. And Father, I pray for myself. I pray for each one of us here that the hours ahead, just today, the hours ahead, we would already be applying this. Father, the enemy won't wait till tomorrow. Temptation, struggle, difficult emotions, difficult situations will not wait till tomorrow. So, Father, I pray that for my own wisdom and the wisdom of each of us here, that you would strengthen us in our agreement. We do these things today. We do these things stronger and different. We do them more aggressively today. And then tomorrow we do them more. And Father, I really do pray that you would help us to be creative, to be aggressive in gathering truth. Father, that we not settle for what we know, but we keep going to gather more. And that we collect it, we keep it, we treasure it. Father, you've said that if we treasure your word in our heart, we will be equipped to not sin against you. You've said this. But Father, you said to treasure it, to hide it. That it has to be treasured, not just known about and kept on a shelf. And that we need to hide it within, Father. Please be our wisdom to do this. Please be my wisdom this week to do this. You are the living God, and you're prepared for what we're going to face today, what we'll face tomorrow. So we choose your preparation again, Father. We choose your help. We choose the life of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're ready to help us grow in overwhelming victory, that there is nobody in the room who has trusted in Jesus Christ who is not fully equipped to defeat the enemy and to make the enemy regret the battle. Help us to discern this. Help us to grow a vision of this. And then, gracious Father, help us to grow. We ask together in Jesus' name. Amen.